listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 22nd. It's a glorious day in the United States of America. It's not really that great. Life is not great right now. I've been inside for the last 7 weeks. I'm fat. I can feel myself just aging as minutes go by. I miss football more than anything in the world. But we are here, and we have a damn good show tonight. As always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host Jordan Nelson. Jordan, what's up? How are we? Talk to me.
I'm good, man. Hey, you, last time we talked, you sounded so hyped that that Madden was going well for you. What happened?
Okay, so so last night I've been talking a lot of heat on Madden on Twitter and everything like that, and I think I'm pretty good. I get a DM from a certain former Hurricane saying, "Hey, let's play sometime." And I'm like, "Yeah, of course I want to play with the former Kane." And you know what? Maybe I'll beat him. You know, maybe I'd like that. It was my first time playing Xbox Live. I was really excited. It was Brad Kaya who I was playing against, and he was the Jets and I was the Cowboys, and he beat me 49-9. And Chris Herndon and Braxton Berrios had every single catch and touchdown.
Oh man, dude, my favorite thing about this story is that one, he picked the Jets. You know, so he spanked you with the Jets, who were not good. They, you know,
at all.
And also that, it's not like he was throwing balls to like Robbie Anderson and, you know, I can't even think of who the other guys are on the Jets that are good because he like has his friends just thumping you, dude. He was just toying with you, man.
Yeah, I could just see him in L.A. like when we were playing, just laughing at me. Yeah. Like, with like every like 3 minutes, he would just DM me while the game was going on and just say ha 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 ha.
Dude, that's funny. I could just see him like going into the depth chart and putting Braxton from like sixth to having him be his number one receiver, and then just throwing him slant routes all game.
Yeah. So that didn't go well. And then after that game, he said, "Let's run it back," and I'm like, "Oh boy." And then I was the Chiefs, and he was the Cardinals, and he beat me by like 30. And so, but in the midst of everything, Brad Kaya is coming on the show on Monday. He's returning. Our best friend is coming back.
That's wonderful.
Few announcements before we get into things. Tomorrow, the NFL draft. Jordan, you want to just give a brief little thing what we're doing?
Yes. So tomorrow is the beginning of our NFL draft live broadcast. We're doing it all 3 days. So we're hitting the first round tomorrow. Go on YouTube and find our channel. It's Fours Up Podcast is the name of our channel. Yesterday I did a test video with some of Kane's fam. That's still up. I'll probably delete that. Just, I don't know, 'cause we were just screwing around and doing tech stuff, you know, nothing important. But check out our channel, subscribe. We're going to go live on YouTube tomorrow. We can have 4 people on the screen, which isn't as many as we thought, but we're going to try to get as many of you on as possible so we can see the reactions. It's going to be a little bit of a logistical nightmare, so just bear with us. We're going to do our best. We want to involve as many people as possible and just have it be a really fun, exciting thing for Kane's fam. But like I said, we're just going to have to do our best and hope the tech side works out. 'Cause, you know, I'm no expert. You know, we're trying to do this as low cost as possible but it's going to be amazing. Yeah. So that's really exciting. Also check my Twitter feed at JRNelson17. I tweeted something earlier today. I'll actually pin it to my profile right now. But I have, if you're planning on participating, so you want to be on video conference with us, and you're doing it via smartphone, you'll need a certain app. Okay, I've posted the link to that app on this tweet, and I will pin it to my profile right now, and then I'll also have the Fours Up Podcast retweet it. I'll have Marsh retweet it. I think he already has, but we'll do that again. So yeah, and if you have any questions, feel free to jump in my DMs. You know, we want to make this a really fun event for everyone and have everyone feel like, you know, they're, I don't know, we just, I mean, we love Canes fam, and we want you guys to feel like it, right? So we want it to be a really good thing.
No, yeah, it's going to be a fun 3 days. Excited to get in front of the camera and interact with you guys. So it's going to be fun. Other announcements, I'm trying to think. Oh, we got a commit today. So that's great. 2021 three-star defensive lineman Alan Hay from Chaminade Madonna in my stomping grounds of Hollywood, Florida. So, woo! Welcome to the family.
Love it, man.
Love it. Love it. So, yeah, we'll probably have a little bit more on that later on. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I'm tagging you in that tweet right now, if you wouldn't mind putting that out.
Yeah, I got that.
Cool. All righty. So, should I call in our first guest?
Let's do it.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up?
All right, we now welcome on a very special guest, 2021 commit for your Miami Hurricanes, four-star offensive tackle Michael McLaughlin. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely, absolutely, brother. So what's going on down in South Florida? How's the quarantine treating you?
I've been making the most out of it. A lot of family time. That's good. Don't really have that so much when you're busy all the time.
Yeah, love it, man. That's tell us about your history with the Miami program. I know you kind of blew up on Twitter, at least in terms of Canes fans a few months ago. There's a video going around about you destroying that one dude. I can't remember who it was, but it was a very impressive video. And then I know all of Canes' family has just, you know, really, really wanted you in this class ever since.
Well, Miami was my first offer. I've lived in Florida, South Florida, for about 10 months or so now. I came down in June, and I was at a 7-on-7 camp, and that's when Miami offered me about a week after I moved here. And so they were the first school to even recruit me, and they were my first offer too. And so it's been all love for Miami since the beginning.
Cool. I love to hear that. I love to hear it. And you, you're from Indiana, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So how are you adjusting to South Florida? Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. The weather's great all the time. Yeah. This winter was awesome.
Good deal. I'm a Broward County man myself, so shout out. So let's talk some Canes. First thing I want to ask you is, the offensive line coach, new offensive line coach, Garen Justice. I'm a huge fan of him. Jordan's also a huge fan of him. Loved what he's been able to do so far in recruiting. Obviously, you know, he got, I assume he was majoring in your commitment to Miami. So talk about Coach Justice a little bit.
Well, he's, from his background as a coach, he's a really good coach. And what he's big on is the technical piece of playing offensive line. And so me, only playing offensive line for this past year, that's something that I could really use to work on. And I've kind of just always gotten by just by my size and my athleticism. But once I get to Miami and I can have him teach me all the technique of offensive line, that'll just really help me take my game to the next level, I think.
Okay. So going along with the gear and justice topic, could you kind of compare and contrast – you know, his personality, his energy, his vibe as a coach compared to other coaches. And you don't need to name anyone specifically, but just like what draws some of the kids to Coach Justice? Like what makes him special?
He's a teacher. So when you're going through your drill and you don't do something right, you have something to work on. He'll sit there and explain it to you until you get it right, rather than just one of those coaches who gets in your butt and just keeps yelling at you until you do it again. So he's definitely a teacher, and I think that's also something good about him.
That's awesome. And he's part of the incredible staff that Coach Diaz is putting together on the offensive side of the ball, led by our wonderful new offensive coordinator, Rhett Lashley. And, Mike, I can't tell you how excited we all are to have him as our OC. What do you like about him? You know, as a coordinator, and what do you like about his offense?
I like how he's bringing a fast-paced offense to Miami. because Miami's they've got athletes, and so their offense wasn't really producing with the offensive style that they had last year. But I think this high tempo, just simple offense, just kind of go, 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 I think that's going to really work out for Miami this year.
Okay. And so I'm kind of jumping all over with the questions. So you're from Indiana. Did you grow up watching Miami? God forbid you're a Notre Dame fan and you grew up watching the Irish. Who did you like growing up in college football?
Growing up, I really wasn't that much of a college football fan until I kind of got involved with it. And I started to realize, like, oh, crap, this is going to be me one day. And so that's when I finally started to pay attention to it a lot more and became more of a college fan.
Okay. Were you like an NFL fan, Colts fan?
Yeah, Colts and Niners.
Cool. Love it, man.
Good deal. When did you, you're a monster. I think you're like 6'7", 6'8". When did it really start to click to you that, okay, like football, like I have a future in football?
Right after we got down to Florida, after Miami offered. Because when I lived in Indiana, I had zero looks. No colleges were talking to me. And I get down and I finish that camp and Miami offers me like a 5-time national champion program offered me, like it was mind blowing. And so that's when it really clicked. Like I have potential playing the sport.
Cool. Dude, that's really cool. I think that's awesome. That's a dream come true for so many kids, you know, like that's something that I always thought about growing up, but I mean, obviously I didn't end up being a football player. But that is cool hearing that. So I want to ask you a little bit about what it's like, being in the thick of the recruiting process. I mean, are you in contact with other kids that are going to be in this class? Do you actively reach out and try to recruit some of your peers or what's that like?
There's been a couple times I've had the chance to talk to other people, like other recruits and commits, especially at in February before everything got shut down at Rivals Camp and Under Armour. I got to talk to a couple of the commits, like Lawrence Seymour. I was talking to him one day at the Under Armour camp, and so I've had a chance to meet some of the other commits so far.
Cool. That's awesome. I mean, 2021 classes, especially on the offensive line, you know, I really love what Miami's doing recruiting wise. Is there anyone who's not committed to Miami right now that you're maybe trying to lure into coming to UM or anyone else you're talking to?
I also talked to Ryan Rodriguez at that Under Armour camp, but I think yes, he'd be a good addition.
I love it. Someone.
He tore it up at that camp, man.
I'd love to have Ryan Rodriguez too. I'm a big fan of his, so keep working on that, man. I hope you can work some magic and, you know, pull off a big recruiting score for us. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, Ryan. I mean, yeah, he won a state championship last year with Columbus. I think he would be a great fit with you, Seymour, you know, on that offensive line. Okay, so top five categories today. We talked a little bit about this earlier, Mike. So the first top five category and debate we're doing is top five movies to watch while we are quarantined. You got a list for that?
I do have a list. You gave me a heads up earlier, and that was a tough one to come up with. For sure.
Good, let's hear it.
First off, you got to go with Fast and Furious 3. I know that's a little controversial because it doesn't have all the same characters, but 3 is my favorite one. I could watch that over and over.
All right. That's a shot. I'm a little surprised at that one. All right. Yeah. Good first pick.
Iron Man's another good one. Probably one of my favorite movies of all time, Waterboy, Adam Sandler. That's a good one. That's my go-to on Netflix whenever I don't have anything else to watch. And then Endgame is probably another good one. And Step Brothers, I'd say that's my five.
I love Step Brothers, man.
Okay. Perfect. All right, Jordan, what's your top five movies to watch while you're quarantined?
Oh, man. I'm not sure. Honestly, I haven't been watching a ton of movies. So I have two modes when I watch movies. I either watch movies that are very like crass and crude and just irreverent, you know, like high school boy humor, right? You know, just about poop jokes and body jokes and whatever. And then I also like to watch like sad introspective dramas. So my favorite movie that I've watched in this quarantine has actually been The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's really sad. And then, let's see, I watched the whole Rush Hour trilogy the other day. That was amazing. I know that you're a hater on that, Marsh, but yeah. You know, I still like you anyways. let's see, what else? I watched This Is the End. That's fantastic.
That's in my top five.
Yeah, that's the apocalyptic one at James Franco's house. That's great. Man, what else have I watched? You know, my favorite movie is The Big Lebowski, so I'm going to throw that in there. And then, you know, my other favorite movie that I've seen three times in the last few months is The Gentlemen. It's a newer release, but I love that movie. So.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Okay. Yeah. Next category is top five NFL quarterbacks of the 21st century. Okay. Wait, hold on. I need to give my five movies. Okay. Number one, I got Pineapple Express. Then I have The Departed, good mob movie with Matt Damon and Leo. And then This Is the End, Superbad, and Friday Night Lights. So that is my top five. It's elite, an elite group. Okay. Next top five is top five NFL quarterbacks of the 21st century. Mike, let's start off with you.
Started off, I have to go with Manning. You know, I'm a Colts guy, so big fan of him. Go with Brady and Breeze too. Rodgers, and then I'd say since this is 21st century, even though he's really only been more recent guy, I'd say Mahomes. If he keeps this up, he's down is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's controversial not putting Brady at number one, but I mean, you are a Colts fan, so I guess that's understandable. Jordan, what about you?
Okay, I'm proud of you, Marsh, for not getting more upset about the Brady thing. I know you're a Brady fanboy.
Brady fan, man.
Okay, so that was a good list, though, Mike. I think you're pretty spot on. So I'm going to go with do I have to do this in order, or can I just have five?
No, we're doing it in order.
In order. All right. Well, dude, I hate putting Brady at one. I hate putting Brady at one, but I'm going to. So, yeah, Brady's number one. Peyton Manning at number two. Aaron Rodgers at number three.
Okay.
Shoot. Who else, man? You got to go Big Ben at number four. And then let's go. You know, I'm going to go Pat Mahomes. I mean, I feel like if you go Super Bowls, Eli Manning's the only other one with two. So then it's just down to guys with one, and Flacco's not good. I'm going with Pat Mahomes at five.
All right. Okay. All right. That's okay. Okay. Brady at one, Peyton at two, Rodgers at three, Drew Brees at four.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson at number five.
I forgot Drew Brees. Can I go back and put Brees at five? Big Ben at four, Brees at five?
Yeah, I guess you can.
I was about to say, Breeze didn't even get a mention on your list.
Yeah, my bad.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so Mike, I have just two more questions for you. So one is three questions. First off, what are your personal goals for your senior season?
For my senior season, undefeated season, of course. And then, I mean, the goal should always be just you got to make it all the way. And so the goal is state championship. I think we have more potential than we had last year. I think we're going to do even better. Our guys want it.
Hey, I love that mentality, man. Freaking bring that back to Coral Gables. Nothing short of winning, man. Okay, second question. You decided what you want to study at Miami?
Yeah, business.
Okay. Good deal, good deal. And then last question for me, I don't know if Jordan has one, but my last question is, what's one, like, if you're talking to Hurricanes fans right now, what would you want to tell them?
When I get to Miami, you're going to get everything I've got.
Love it, man.
Love it! Let's go! Ugh, I love it, man. You probably know Jordan and I are diehard Canes fans. I've been watching this team since I was a kid. Grew up going to the Orange Bowl and Hard Rock. So we need that mentality, man, and we love it. So, Jordan, do you have anything else?
No, I'm good, man. I appreciate having you on. We're all excited about having you. I mean, we desperately need help on O-line, and I think you're one of the right guys for the job, man. So just keep at it, you know, keep working hard, and I'm excited to watch you on Saturdays, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Mike.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, all thanks. Right,
brother. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
Cool, man. That was dope.
Love it. Love it. He's motivated.
Yeah.
He has a vision. We're going. We're back.
He does.
I'm not going to say the U is back, but after that interview and just – I like kids that, like, they're not, like, loud, but, like, they're confident.
Yeah. And,
like, I could just – like, that – McClellan's going to be a freaking, like, starter for several years anchoring down that offensive line.
Dude, this – so the – some of the newer kids, I really wouldn't be surprised if we have – at some point in the next few years, we have like four of our offensive linemen are guys that have started for 3+ years, you know, like Jalen Rivers could be one of those guys. You know, Mike McLaughlin could be one of those guys. You know, if Ryan Rodriguez comes, he could be one of those guys.
He's coming to Miami. Ryan Rodriguez is going to come to Miami.
I think he is too, but I'm just saying, like, you know, can't you see 5 years from now that we have like a crazy experienced offensive line, you know, guys that, I mean, combining for almost 50 starts as a unit. You know what I mean?
We need Seymour to stick with his commitment. His brother just committed to Miami. I think he's like class of 23. But Lawrence just got an offer from the Gators. So I'm freaking out just a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
maybe we can have him on and just plead him not to go to UF.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah, we can just tell him all of the horror stories about how horrible their program is.
Just say, hey man, you know that it's in Gainesville, right?
Yeah. Right.
Gainesville?
You know they're gonna make you wear jorts every day. Jorts in a cowboy hat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disgusting. The hell was I just gonna say? But no, going back to you know, building that offensive line, dude. I love what Coach Justice and Lashley are doing recruiting wise for that O line. I love McLaughlin, love Seymour. I think Jalen Rivers is. I think that kid is going to leave early for the NFL. And then get Ryan Rodriguez as your center, and I smell a national championship.
Yep. Yeah, dude. I could quarterback. Yep. I could very easily see Justice being our next offensive coordinator as well.
And Rhett Lashley as our next head coach.
I don't know about that, man. I mean, would I be happy?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, but I just mean, like, if he does a great job, I just have a hard time seeing. I don't think Manny's gonna leave us for a better job. And because I mean, you know, we're like Manny's dream school, right? Like I can't see him going anywhere. And if Lashley excels here, I don't see Manny leaving, you know, like if Lashley does great, then Manny's going to get a contract extension. So don't get me wrong. I would love that. And I could see it if something crazy happened, you know, I could see it, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Lashley end up somewhere like, I don't know, like Oklahoma or Texas, if those jobs open up or, you know, he's good. I think he'll be good. And I think I could see him running a program in the Big 12, like a big time program.
I would trust Rhett Lashley with my life, honestly. Next to my life is the University of Miami. So I just love him. Like I love him. Love Lashley. I love Justice. I just love my Hurricanes.
Yeah, I do too, man. Awesome. I'm with you. I friggin' love our staff right now. It's good stuff.
I never thought I would love our offensive staff more than our defensive staff. Never thought that would happen.
Yeah.
But by God, by George, it's been done.
All right, should I call in our next guest?
Let's do it.
Tongue tied. All right, calling him in now. Anthony, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, so we're live here with Anthony Kosum. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're here with Anthony Kosum, who is he's in the 2021 class. He's a defensive end from Western High School in Fort Lauderdale. How you doing, man? How's your day going?
I'm doing great. It's been pretty chill.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Well, Anthony, yeah, it's Marsh here. So what's your offseason been like, you know, training-wise and getting ready for your senior year?
It's been pretty hard, like, without the gym. So it's basically, like, it's pretty much the same thing every day. So I'll just wake up, give me a nice little stretch in, and then I'll go for a two-mile jog. And then I'll come home and do some core workouts and some push-ups.
Love it, man. Love it. Hey, I have to say, I follow you on Twitter. I love how much you go at people. You know, I love how much you rep the U on your Twitter profile. It gets me pumped, man. I love that. I mean, we want you here, man. Like, tell us how your recruitment's going.
Recruitment, it's like everything's moving a little bit slow, but you know, being that the everybody like spring season got canceled, that was like my moment to like really show everybody. But I gotta wait till the season starts to show. But let me see. There's some schools showing interest, like Holy Cross, Bucknell, Kentucky been showing love. Let me see. Who else?
Dude,
I can't really think of like any off the top of that. Like,
yeah. Oh, I love it, man. I mean, Kentucky, that's an SEC offer. That's some big stuff. So, but did you grow up as a Miami fan?
Yeah, he's cool. Always grow up watching them.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I see on Twitter. I mean, you're like a fan just like the rest of us. I mean, you're a diehard Hurricane. You rep the U. Growing up, who was some of your favorite Hurricanes to watch?
Let me see. I can't really think of any of the
options. Okay. So I watched your tape earlier this afternoon. I watched your junior highlights. And I have to say, the one thing that absolutely popped to me, I'm no expert when it comes to, like, breaking down film or anything. But one thing really, really jumped off the screen, and that is how many times in your highlights I saw you chase people down from behind. So after a pass was thrown, you know, after a quarterback would scramble and he's running down the sideline, how many times that you'd break off from your block and chase these people down the field from behind and tackle them. I love that effort, man. The fact that you're not giving up, you know, a lot of guys just think that they're out of the play, but you're chasing these guys down and getting a tackle still. I love that, man. I mean, tell me about that. Tell me about your mindset.
My mindset is like, basically, the play is not done until you hear the whistle. So why just sit right there and just let the ball go upfield? My coach, like, one of the things that my D-line coach always said, he was like, get to the ball. He's like, think about it. Why just have one person make the tackle? If there's a bunch of people right there making the tackle, everybody's around. You never know what could happen. They could fumble. They can drop the ball right there. You can pick it up. You can make a play. You always got to be ready to make a play.
Yeah,
and that actually happened one time. I got to the ball, they actually fumbled, so I picked it up. But then like I had fell because like one of the players grabbed my leg.
Yeah, well, here's what I want from you. I'm a big fan of yours. I'd love to see you get the offer from Miami, from the U, and end up playing here on Saturdays. So if you had to sell yourself, if you had to like give your 30-second sales pitch to Manny Diaz about why you would make a great Hurricane. I want to hear that, man. So tell us why you'd make a great Hurricane in just you know, 30 seconds or so.
Let me see. I'm humble. I pursue to the ball. I always think that the lowest man wins. The lowest and fastest man wins. And let me see. You'll never really find too many people like me.
I love it. I love it, man. I mean, I'm not a fan of, like, you know, loud and flashy players. I like those guys who do their job and do it well, and they're confident in, you know, what they can do. And you obviously seem like that kind of player. What is one thing, or maybe one or two things, about your game that you want to improve on your senior year?
About my game, using technique more and getting faster.
Okay. Tell us about Coach. Have you interacted with Coach Stroud much, or have you been in contact with him at all?
Coach Stroud.
Yeah, the defensive line coach from Miami.
I met him once when I went to the camp. Like, when I went to the camp, they was looking at me. He was like, you have a nice stance. I went to my right hand stance, and I went to my left. He was like, he liked him, and then he was like, he liked how explosive I was. But when I was there, I forgot his name, but that's when they had offered, I think he's a sophomore or a freshman. They had gave him the offer. He was like 6'6".
Okay. Nice, man.
Good deal. What are your thoughts on Coach Manny Diaz? I mean, he's obviously a big character. You know, he is South Florida. He is the Hurricanes. What are your thoughts on him and, you know, him leading the Canes in the future?
In my opinion, he's doing great. It's just like, I know, like, the best thing that happened that we beat FSU this year. So, you know, that was good. Let me see. Yeah, he's been doing great. I haven't really, like, seen too many, like, errors that he's done.
Okay. So I want to ask you what's your personal goals for this next season?
Personal goals. I want, like, my personal goal, just the, I want a lot of sacks. I want to try to get, like, at least, like, 20-plus sacks this year.
Okay.
Aim high, bro. I love it, man. Is there a defensive end in the NFL or a former NFL defensive end that you grew up watching or you grew up idolizing and you tried to, you know, kind of master your game after his?
I started defensive end was never really like my position. Like, I started playing football like late. I started playing like, let me see, I played 1 year in seventh grade, but I played both sides. So, and then I didn't really know much. I started learning when I got to high school. So, a defensive end that I really was trying to be like, has to be Joe Jackson.
Okay. I love it.
JJ.
Yeah, he was a monster here.
Like the first game, my first game, my coach told me at defensive end, I'm talking about, like, I didn't even know what I was doing. Like, I'm doing moves I've never done before. The ball move, I'm going. Like, I done spent off one tackle, somebody else come up and block me. I done spent off again. Then I'm chasing him down. He done fumbled. I done jumped on it. I'm like, dang, where did all these moves come from?
Just instinct, man. That's what makes a good player, you know? Maybe you were just born for it, right?
Yeah.
So, I know I messaged you kind of late about the top five lists. Were you able to come up with a list of movies and a list of your QBs?
A list of movies I like?
Yeah, so it's your top five movies to watch in quarantine.
Let me see.
Or you can even just give us your top five favorite movies, too.
All right. Movies. All right. Let me see. Probably, I like Black Panther. That was a good one. I like the new, the Fast and Furious that came out. Wasn't it like 9 or 8?
Yeah. I can't remember which one. But just the most recent one, that's what you're saying?
Yeah. Let me see. I like the new Jumanji that came out. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. I need two more. Oh, I don't know why, but the movie Avatar, you know, like the blue creatures?
Yeah.
Is it come on FX? I like that movie too.
Okay.
Let me see. What's that? Is one more. I can't think of it.
Okay. No worries. So we can move on to who are your top five NFL quarterbacks since the year 2000?
2000? Let me see. Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson. That's right. I love the way he plays. I like how you'll think that he'll stay in the pocket. He'll be like, okay, I'm about to throw it. Then bomb, he get out of the pocket and he go. Let me see. Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Off the top. Oh, Cam Newton was pretty good, but I don't know. He don't be scrambling as much as he used to, though.
Yeah, he's getting old, man. He can't keep taking those hits.
Yeah. I used to love when he scrambled. He's in the pocket and he just go.
Dude, yeah, there was a few years, like when he first got to the Panthers, man, where he was just incredible. I used to love, and when he was at Auburn too, I loved watching Cam Newton.
So the
draft starts tomorrow. Anthony, who's are you a Dolphins fan or who's your NFL team?
My NFL team? Let me see. I'm not even gonna lie. I don't really have a favorite because like I like to watch like everybody. Like I like to see like the players everybody have, and I like watching everybody receivers, defensive line. So I can't really say.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, yeah. Hopefully we have a few hurricanes going off the board this weekend. What are your thoughts on, this is my last question for you, Anthony. What are your thoughts on, obviously, you know, last year was not great for the Canes. We went 6-7, lost some pretty bad games, but the future looks bright at Miami in Coral Gables. What are your expectations and what are your thoughts on the Hurricanes in 2020 and the Manny Diaz's second season?
You know, he was new to it. So Ben and I know he got comfortable now. So I feel like we're going to have a great season.
I hope so, man.
We're going to have a great season.
All right. Well, Anthony, thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate having you. It was great talking to you. You know, it was fun getting a chance to watch your tape. And you know, hopefully we can do this again. And I'm rooting for you, man. I hope you can have a great season and get all the offers that you want and you know, end up where you want to be and have a great career in college. So.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, us as Canes fans, we'll continue to support you. And we're excited to see, you know, where you end up, man. So thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate it all. I appreciate all the love and everything.
Yeah, of course, man. And good luck to you and go Canes, bro.
Thank you. Y'all be safe.
Yep. You too, man. Perfect. That's cool, man. It's fun talking to recruits. I'm super jealous of them, you know. It's cool that they get the opportunity to, you know, to go play D1 ball and stuff. I think every kid dreams about that growing up, and you know, it's not everyone gets that opportunity. So it's cool to pick the brain of kids that do get it.
Well, we also have to like remember. I mean, these are like Mike and Anthony, those two kids we just talked to, I mean, they're still like 16 and 17 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I always have to like remind myself that these kids, that these recruits that we tweet about all day, like they're kids. Like,
yeah.
When I was 16 or 17 years old, like I was the biggest dumbass in the world. Like I was an idiot. And like if I had to like – if I came on a podcast, I would sound like the most blabbering goofball in the world. And like, just impressed how these kids carry themselves. And like, and what means the most to me is that like, they, care about Miami. Like, they're a younger generation.
Absolutely.
You know, they have not really seen the Hurricanes good. I mean, I haven't either, but like, those guys really haven't, but they still know what Miami is, and you know, they love the program and they want to be a part of turning it around. And yeah, it's just good to know that younger kids know what UM is and, you know, why it's special.
Yeah, I love that about Anthony. You know, I just, he's one of my favorite follows, because I love how hard he reps the U. You know, it's cool to see, for all the reasons that you just talked about. So, and you know, I'm really excited to have Mike on the team. You know, I'm so pumped. I was so happy when he committed.
Yeah, I'm impressed by that guy. Just like, just talking with him, like, yeah. He just sounds like. Like, he's just no BS, and I don't know, man,
the future is bright for us. I hope. I mean, we
need a football season first.
I
mean, they're about to, like, aren't they about to, like, lift the restrictions from the coronavirus to the public, like some states?
I don't know, man. Yes, some states are, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right decision. You know?
No, I know. I definitely don't think, like, when they opened Jacksonville Beach the other day and I saw, like, thousands of people on the beach, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Yeah, I saw a thing that said that this winter there's going to possibly be, like, another outbreak this bad.
I saw that, too.
Some scientists are projecting. I don't really know what to
nerds.
Like, everyone's got an opinion, I guess. I got one too, but you know, it's not an educated opinion, so I'm not gonna say it on a podcast, right? I don't want to hang myself out to dry that hard, you know.
You're good, man. You're good. But yeah, when I see all those people on the beach, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Like, you know, like, what we're going through, and like, you going outside around thousands of other people is just worsening the cause. What, just so you want to go get tan on the beach? You want to go swim in the ocean? What the hell is there in the ocean?
Yeah, man.
Stay inside.
I know. And, dude, I hate how things like this become politicized, you know? I hate how political parties have to take a stance on it, and everyone who follows that party has to think the same way. Like, we don't have to disagree on everything, you know? And...
Right.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of people that are looking at this with common sense, and then there's a lot of people that are looking at it the way that their favorite politician wants them to look at it, for better or worse, right?
Yeah.
And, just with the election coming up, I feel like so many people are torn between that, because whether they like the president or they don't like the president, they understand the impact that this will have on the election. And they're like cheering for that. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, we need states to open up so that the economy can get back on track. And that looks great for the president. So let's open up the states, whether it's ready or not, you know? And then on the inverse, people are like, oh, you know, the economy was the best argument for the president. So like, let's just be overly cautious and hope that we don't quite recover, you know, by November. And that, you know what I mean? I hate that stuff. It's like, politics is not the venue for like team sports and team allegiance. It's like there's tens of millions of people that are unemployed. There's people that are dying. Like, let's just band together and have some common sense and do the right thing, regardless of politics. You know, we just need to do the right thing.
Yeah. Like, just be human beings. Don't be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I watch sports. I don't really do politics. But I'm pretty sure that, like, the two guys running, if it's Biden and Trump, I think their combined age is, like, 640.
I know, right?
Good God, dude. Like, how the hell?
Dude, that just kind of – it makes me laugh. And I know that this isn't – okay, I'm not – this is not an endorsement of any candidate, okay? I promise. I love how there's, like, a – this is just – observational comedy. I love how there's a big contingent of the Democratic Party that's very like anti-old white guy, you know? There's that kind of like new wave, you know what I mean? They're electing people like the AOC lady in New York and stuff, and that's fine. But just some strong, like, let's get people in there that aren't old white guys, because that's what everyone is. You know what I'm talking about? How there's people that feel that way, and that's fine. But it made me laugh that when it got down to the last three candidates for president, Donald Trump was the youngest.
I mean, both parties, like, they're just, they're insane.
Yeah.
Like they're all insane. Like, yeah. And I, like, I really don't care about politics. I really could give a shit. Like, and it's funny how people on Twitter, they always, like, assume that I'm a huge Trump guy. And, like, why? Yeah. Like, have I ever said it? Like, people see my tweets all day. Have I ever? Like, what the hell is wrong with everyone? Everyone needs to be nice to me.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I don't care. Bring on the heat, you bastards. I can take it. I bench 400.
Did you really?
No.
Okay.
I just say that all the time.
I was going to say good for you.
Oh, damn it. I was going to ask Mike how much he benches.
Oh.
I was like, I literally had that typed down, and I was gonna ask him.
Well, you can always text him right now.
Hey, Mike.
Should we call him back?
Forgot to ask, but how much do you bench?
Should we call him back right now?
No, he's probably out running 40-yard sprints or bench pressing or squatting or studying film. He's working right now.
Yeah. Oh, he's working right now, but you know what I'm doing instead? Recording a podcast, and then I'm going to watch TV and then go to sleep and sleep until 10.
Yeah, my sleep schedule is bad. Like, it's really bad right now. Like, I have no – I suck right now. Like, this is the lowest of the low for me.
Yeah?
I'm pathetic. Like, I've watched every single, like, Jonah Hill movie ever made within the past week, and every day I'm just, like, sitting on my couch like, there has to be more to life. Dude.
Okay, so here's my thing with Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill, to me, as a person, is funny. Like, he doesn't need to say anything to be funny. He's just funny because he's Jonah Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of my favorite movies of his are, like, the more obscure, the ones that weren't as big, because there's no distractions. It's just Jonah Hill being Jonah Hill. And I feel like in some of those movies, like, The Sitter is one of them. Is it Cyrus? Yeah, Cyrus is one of them. I just feel like the director was like, we don't need a great plot. We don't need anything. We just need Jonah Hill. And, you know, Jonah, you do your thing. You're not being a character. You're being Jonah. And, dude, those are some of my favorite movies, man. He's hilarious to me. Everything he does is so funny. I love Jonah Hill.
I love Jonah Hill. Okay, give me your top three Jonah Hill movies in order.
In order. Oh, man, this is hard. This is hard. Can I do five?
You may. I will allow it.
Can I do seven, Marsh?
Seven?
Yeah, dude.
I can't even think of seven Jonah Hill movies.
Okay, the Jump Street movies. Do they count? Can I lump them together into one?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so... I love the Jump Street movies, so I'm going to go one is Jump Street. 21 and 22 Jump Street, that is number one. Those are two of my favorite movies. I absolutely love them. I watch them both every summer. That's kind of how I kick off summer, is once my parents open the swimming pool, we get the grill out and we're grilling food, and then I do I binge the two Jump Street movies, and that's when summer starts. So
I don't think I've even seen 22 Jump Street.
Oh, dude, it is just as good, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, it actually has one scene in it. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there's a scene that involves Ice Cube that is funnier than anything in 21 Jump Street. However, it's one of those movies where it's kind of just like the same thing, and so by virtue of it being the same thing, it's like not as good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, because it's not original, it's not as good as the first one. However, if you have the 21 Jump Street as a 9, then 22 Jump Street's like an 8.5 or a 8.7 or something. Wow. It's really good. It's every bit as good and funny as the first one. It's just less original. So
Okay. Okay. So that's your first one.
I love War Dogs, dude. I
haven't seen that.
Oh, dude, War Dogs is great. It's not as much of a comedy. But I mean, Jonah Hill is still hilarious multiple times in that movie. But I don't know if that's two. Shoot. I don't know, man. I just, you know what movie I love Jonah Hill in, even though he's like not a very important character, is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that either.
Oh my gosh, Marsh, you have to watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall tonight.
I know, like that's honestly a movie that I had, like I've been me, like that just seems me, that just sounds like a Marsh movie.
Dude, that is in that genre of comedies where it's like the really crude romantic comedies, you know, like Knocked Up and This Is 40 and 40-Year-Old Virgin. You know what I mean? How it's like a romantic comedy, but it's also like a stoner comedy.
Yeah.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is the best one, in my opinion. Absolutely the best one. It's better than I Love You, Man, which I love I Love You, Man. But Forgetting Sarah Marshall is the very tippy top of that genre. It's incredible. And Jonah Hill has a small role in it where he's just like a worker at the hotel that they're all staying at. But, dude, he's funny in that. He's really good.
Yeah, maybe I will watch that tonight.
Oh, dude, you will not regret it. I promise.
Okay.
It's also a really good and really realistic breakup movie. So
I'm going to say this about your list so far. I kind of think it's trash. If I may say so myself.
Well, I haven't even like pinned down a solid one. I just love Jonah Hill so much that these are like, I can't, these are my children. All I know is that Jump Street.
These are my children.
I don't know. Give me some of yours. Maybe I'm forgetting some. Because I got Cyrus stuck in my head. And I'm not sure I want to say Cyrus right now. You know, because I don't know if it's my top three, even though I love that movie. But let's hear yours first, and then let me finish after.
Super Bad, number one.
Oh, dude, that one's obvious. I don't know how I'm overlooking
that's
that
my, one. Like, Super Bad, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. I love that movie.
Okay.
Number two, I'm going to say Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
He's awesome in that with Leo. He's incredible. And then third, I'm going to say – okay, number three is This Is the End.
Okay.
When he tries to – when he tries to push Jay into the sinking hole.
Yeah.
In the beginning. and he's, like, trying to be nice to Jay and everything. He was like, ah, sick reference points, man. Yeah. And he's wearing an earring.
Yeah. Dude, he's great in that movie.
He is hilarious. When Franco has his that revolver and he passes it to Joan and goes like, I like this bit. I like this bit. Bang, bang.
Yeah, he's fantastic in that one. I don't know if it's my favorite Jonah Hill movie, but he is one of the best parts of that movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's great. And then number four is Moneyball. I love Moneyball.
Yeah, Moneyball is amazing. It really is. Oh, have you seen The Watch?
No, I haven't.
So The Watch is – it's not one of the best movies like this. However, it is the only movie that has Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill both in a starring role. And those are two of my absolute favorite comedy actors.
You like Vince Vaughn?
I love Vince Vaughn. I love Vince Vaughn. I will watch – like if Vince Vaughn does a made-for-TV movie, I'm all about it. I will watch anything that he's in.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers, The Breakup, Swingers. Yeah. Oh my,
I love Unfinished Business and also man, what is that? Delivery Man. If you've ever seen those two. Unfinished Business is fantastic. It has Dave Franco. I think it kind of flopped in theaters because it's more of like a. It wasn't the way I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be, you know, somewhere between like Super Bad and Project X.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up just being like it more had like that low budget feel good with a whole bunch of laughs type thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that, and then that's definitely how Delivery Man is as well. But both those movies are fantastic. Dude, Dave Franco in Unfinished Business.
slays me.
I love the Francos.
So he plays a kid that has, I want to choose my words carefully here. He has some type of developmental disorder. It's probably not very politically correct the way that they have this character. Because he definitely is not, you know, there's definitely something inhibiting him socially, right?
Yeah.
And his name is Mike Pancake.
What the hell?
Dude, it's a really funny movie. I mean, I don't want to set your expectations too high or you won't like it, right? Because that's why it flopped.
Yeah.
But if you really appreciate Vince Vaughn and all the nuances of what he does, definitely watch it. It's fantastic.
Have you seen The Internship with Owen Wilson?
Yes, I love that movie.
Good. That's a very underrated movie.
Oh, yeah. I love it, dude. That's one of my favorite Vince Vaughn movies. And I adore Owen Wilson, too. I love Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
So, I actually – have you seen the unrated version or the theatrical?
I'm assuming just the theatrical.
Yeah. So the theatrical is PG-13 and the unrated is quite R. so you'd probably know from that. But that's one of the few movies where I actually prefer the PG-13 version. You know, and it's not out of prudishness or anything. Mostly because the scene where they're in the strip club and that yo-yo kid keeps on, like soiling himself. They just, in the unrated version, they add a whole bunch of stuff that kind of ruins that joke. But to me, that's the best joke in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's a funny movie. Very underrated. I wish more people talked about it.
Oh, dude, I love it. I love it. I actually just watched it like 3 or 4 weeks ago with my girlfriend. I got her to watch it with me, and we loved it, man. I've seen it probably half a dozen times.
Yeah,
You know who I also love who's in that and has a great short appearance is Rob Riggle.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, dude. He kills me. He's like, when he points to the elderly woman, he's like, see Doris over there? She loves me. She calls my junk the cocoon. Literally lowered her blood pressure.
Or he's at the working at the mattress store and he shows his neck tattoo. You know what that reads? Or you know what that says? Oh, I can't read, whatever. And then Will Ferrell's like, make reasonable choices.
Dude. And then he like points to the guy out tossing the sign. He's like, you want me to throw you out there on the street corner tossing the sign? He's like, we lost 3 of those guys last summer to skin cancer.
How do you think you would fare out there with your alabaster skin?
Yeah. I'm handsome tall. When you walk through the airport, people stop eating their food and stare at you.
Oh my God. I love Will. He's my next to Chris Farley and maybe like Seth Rogen. Like Will Ferrell is my all time favorite actor. See, I love him.
For me, I think like Will Ferrell is very, like rich, you know what I mean? Like a chocolate cake that you can only have 2 bites of before you just can't handle it anymore. That's Will Ferrell to me. So in roles like in Wedding Crashers and in The Internship, that is the perfect amount of Will Ferrell for me. And he's fantastic and I love him. But in movies like Anchorman, I'm tired of him by the end. I'm really just tired of his humor by the end of like a 2-hour movie.
How about you just shut up? Stop saying mean things about Will Ferrell.
I love Step Brothers though. That's one of the exceptions. I love The Other Guys.
Overrated.
Yeah, but I think
The Other Guys is one of the most overrated movies of all time.
Really?
I don't think it's that funny, honestly.
Oh, I think it's funny. I wouldn't put it in like the elite category, but I think it's funny. I think I enjoyed it much more when I was in high school than I do now. But yeah, I do like it. But I think the perfect amount of Will Ferrell is Old School. I think that is like,
yes.
I just love that it's not overbearing because his humor is kind of extra immature to me.
Yeah. I want to get back to old school, but yeah, while you're on this point, because a lot of people, Will Ferrell's the kind of guy that you either think he's hilarious or like you think he's a little overrated. That's a question that I really, really want to talk with Brad Kaya about.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. But yeah, that's I'm somewhere in the middle on that because I love Will Ferrell. You know, like, have you ever seen The Goods with our dude Ari Gold?
No.
Oh, it's what's his name again? I can't think of the actor.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven. So there's this movie called The Goods. It's very stupid but funny. But Jeremy Piven is like a used car salesman mercenary. So, like, these used car dealerships will call him in when they need to liquidate all their cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very stupid. Will Ferrell has a very short cameo in it. Absolutely the funniest part of the movie. And Will Ferrell does that often, you know? Like, his thing in Wedding Crashers, one of the funniest parts of the entire movie. Same with The Internship. He does that often. And so, I love him. He's great. He's just kind of too much after 2 hours, you know, like Anchorman.
And there's certain movies that I definitely get.
Yeah.
What's that one basketball? Semi-pro. I don't think that's funny, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I didn't really like it. But to me, Anchorman perfectly exemplifies that because I know everyone loves Anchorman. To me, I wanted to smash my head on like a marble countertop by the time that movie was over. Because it's just like, it was funny for like the first 20 minutes, but it's too much at this point.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But yeah, he's good. I've been watching so many movies lately, man. So many.
So, I need to get back to my Jonah Hill. Or did you want to talk old school first?
No, go ahead. I love old school, though. I love old school.
Dude, it's great. I love the part with Sean William Scott, who's very underrated, by the way, but with the pony tranquilizer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoots Will Ferrell, or Will Ferrell shoots himself in the neck.
You're crazy, man.
You're crazy.
I like you,
but you're crazy.
Yeah, you're good deal.
Dude, and then when he falls into the pool and then they start playing the Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, the Sound of Silence. Oh, dude, I was like laughing so hard I was crying and had to pause the movie the first time I saw that scene.
Yeah,
just killed me.
It's a good one, man.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Okay. So anyway, my Jonah list. I'm gonna keep Jump Street at number one. I can't believe I forgot Superbad. That's easily number two. Superbad, I love. That was actually the first movie that I watched that was kind of like that. So like it's kind of important to me that, you know, that was kind of when I graduated from movies like Anchorman and Hot Rod into actual funny movies.
Yeah.
So
is another just awful. Rod is the dumbest damn movie. Like, I can't tell you how much I hate that movie.
You know, I like Hot Rod, but I 100% understand why you say that. So I'm not going to argue with you because, like, I get it, you know, but I still find it funny.
And here's the thing, and nobody, like, outside of Utah will understand this, but Mormons quote Hot Rod more than, like, the Bible.
Well, dude, it's because, like, most Mormons don't watch that much. Yeah, they don't, and they don't watch these rated R movies that do curse a lot and have nudity and stuff. Well, a lot of them don't. I know we're exceptions, but, you know, so like in high school, people like movies like The Other Guys and Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre and, you know, just all these PG-13 movies that were kind of close. Dude, they're just so overblown here. I just can't stand it. So I'm with you. Hot Rod, in that sense, I'm very tired of girls thinking they're hilarious by quoting Hot Rod to me.
They're so dumb.
It's like, dude, I think that's also why The Office is so big here. It's because, yeah, like, people here block out, like, 80% of the media that's funny in their life. And so that other 20% that they find appropriate, they just beat to death.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. And Maybe it was just overquoted, like, yeah. But and the same, like,
I mean, how Napoleon Dynamite and the other guys are as well. Like, people are just all about it in high school, and I'm just like, guys, there's other stuff.
Yeah, like the other guys, like, isn't that funny? Like, and I and Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell are like literally two of my favorite actors, but I don't know, it just didn't work for me.
It was funnier to me in high school though, which is probably for exactly the reason why we said is because I didn't watch movies like Superbad yet, you know. I was much more like, I don't know, I just watched movies that weren't as profane back then. And so, like, to me, The Other Guys was like the funniest movie on the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because I was ignorant.
Gosh.
But anyways, yeah, so Superbad at number two. That's why I wanted you to go first, is because I knew I was doing that. I just couldn't think of which movie it was. And then for three, shoot. I'll go War Dogs at three. I like War Dogs.
Okay, good deal. Good enough. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, but I could go like two straight days of watching Jonah Hill movies.
Yeah, I have. I've gone a week straight.
Good for you, man.
It's incredible. And I think I'm going to watch either 22 Jump Street tonight or Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I don't know.
Dude, you will love both of them. I promise you. Those are two of my
favorites. I put it on the poll on Twitter. And so far, 71 votes, 61% vote Forgetting Sarah Marshall, 39, 22 Jump Street.
Well, here's what I'll say about this. If I can just give you a little bit of advice on this topic. Just keep in mind that Forgetting Sarah Marshall is much more of a rom-com type thing.
So I love rom-coms. You know how romantic I am?
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I would base it off your mood. You know, if you just want to laugh and you want it to, you know, kind of like just college, like frat kid type humor, you know, then 22 Jump Street is the thing. But if you're looking for like a feel-good, like love story type thing, then Forgetting Sarah Marshall is what you want.
Speaking of frat, this is the last thing I'll say, but did you see that video that guy tagged me? Oh yeah. My God. I laughed so hard because that was me when I was 19 and in a fraternity. That was literally me.
Dude, that is so bad. Why would you admit that to people?
I mean, it's I think it's kind of, I mean, I don't know. Like, I am who I am, and I was that guy.
I know. I'm just messing with you. That's just
people think I'm ridiculous now. If people on Twitter saw when I was 19 or 18 years old, oh my God, it would be chaos.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, because one of my best friends growing up was kind of in the frat scene with you, you know, so like I got like a peek into that lifestyle through him being one of my best friends. And you know, there was like things that I was like, man, that would be so much fun. But then there was also things where I was just like, yeah, I don't know if that's for me, you know? So I definitely think there'd be a lot of things about being in a fraternity that I would have loved. Just overall, I didn't think it fit where I was at in life as a 19 year old.
No, I get that. I get that.
So, but yeah, man, that's, that video made me laugh hard.
Especially
his captain, though. He's like, people come. What do you say, like, guys, come get Marsh or something?
Something like that. And like all the comments and everything, I'm like, oh God. It's funny because how accurate it is. Like, they make jokes, like people make jokes about it, but I don't care if I'm making fun of myself right now, but like that video is 100% accurate.
Well, I think that's why people love you, though, is because you're always willing to make fun of yourself like that. So,
yeah, I mean,
that's a good way of being hilarious.
Sorry, what?
I said that's a good way to be hilarious, though, is to be able to make fun of yourself when it's the right time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Okay, well, do you have anything else?
No, good. I'm dude. No, dude, I'm good.
Good deal, man. Okay, we got three big days ahead of us.
Yeah. Big days.
I'm scared. I'm scared and slightly horny.
Oh my god. I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, hopefully, like, we get some chill people on to chat while we're doing this. So, yeah, if you guys are listening, freaking reach out to us and come on our NFL draft thing. We'd love to talk to you.
Good man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, man.
Yeah, we've had, like, almost 100 people. It might be over, it might be under, but around 100 people, like, around 3 people per NFL team. Reach out to us. So it's going to be crazy, man.
yeah.
So if we aren't able to get you on, deepest apologies. We're not trying to be rude. But we got like 100 people and we're going to try to get everyone involved if we can.
Well, I mean, what is it going to be like? It's like 3 to 4 hours a day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But we can only have 4 people on the screen at once.
That's true.
Me being the host, you know, because I'm like doing the tech side of things, so like my browser will be hosting this whole thing, so I think I always have to be on the screen. Maybe I can figure it out, but I, you know, there could be times where maybe we'll like push your video off or Brad's, and you know, so I can get like 3 people up at once or something, you know, but your audio will still be in there. Or just whatever, you know, we can try to figure it out, but it's going to be tough to, you know, if me, you and Brad are always up on the screen, that means that we're going to have 100 different people on at different times.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot, man.
It is, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. So yeah, we'll put something about it on Twitter tonight and then tomorrow again, just to remind everyone. It's going to be fun, but thank you again to Michael and Anthony for coming on the show tonight. They were great interviews. Got the event coming up tomorrow through Saturday. And then Monday, we have our best friend coming back on the show, Brad Kaya. So things are well here. Well, I mean, they're not well, but we're happy.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm happy too. It's going to be a good time. And I'm excited to hear your thoughts about whichever movie you choose. So make sure you tell me all about it tomorrow.
Absolutely, brother. Okay, go Canes.
Hi, Marsh.
This has been the Forza Podcast.